Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
All right, turn with me in your Bibles. Turn with me in your Bibles. We'll get right to it. Oh, man. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It'll be up on the screens if you don't have it. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." This is Jesus talking. "Now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beaten into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow." Anyone remember? No? "Asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Tonight we're going to be talking about fearless in the storm, how to be fearless in the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, for what you have already done in this place and what you want to do. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Father God, we don't just make a little room for you. We give you the entire room to do all that you would. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, that I am but a vessel. Speak to the hearts that are open, that are listening. Whoever has an ear to hear, let him hear what you are saying, what you are doing. So I pray for open hearts and open ears tonight, Father God, that we don't have to leave this place the same way that we came in. We thank you. We lift you up. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If we're honest with ourselves, guys, you know, I don't know about you all. I guess if I'm honest with myself, sometimes I read the Bible from this perspective, you know, like here we are 2,000 years later, and we know the whole story, right? We have all the books. We have all the gospels. We have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and it's nice and packaged for us. So we've seen the end. And I don't know, again, this is where, if I'm being honest, sometimes I read these stories and I'm like, I would have done that differently. Come on, can we be honest in church? Like, really, didn't you were just with him. We read that he had just been with him all day. The disciples had just been with Jesus. They saw him teaching. At this point, they had seen him do miracles. They had seen sick people be healed. And why are they afraid when they're with Jesus? And again, that's where I get like, man, I would have been like, it's just another storm. If Jesus is asleep, I'm gonna go take a nap too. Right? But that's we have to zoom back out and say, okay, what is it here that why are they tripping if? What don't they know that I know? Well, this is the interesting part of this story. To this point, this was the first time that Jesus had performed a miracle of nature. That's why when they say, even the wind and the waves obey him. Because they've seen him heal bodies. They've seen people cast out demons. They've seen how people marvel at his teaching, at his wisdom. But now the wind and the waves, nature listens to this guy. There was something to this miracle that's taking place that, wow, like we knew he was a good God. But they're grasping this picture here. And so here we are in our modern day times, and we get to look and say, so what is going on here? Yet they found themselves afraid. Yet themselves, in the natural, things were scary. The water was coming on. All the signals around them were pointing to that the fact that they were in danger. And so here we are talking about the topic of fear and having fear. And I know it's kind of like this, it's not 2020 anymore. We already have the shirt, faith over fear. Like, you know, I get it. I'm fearless, guys. I don't have fear. But remember, let's put ourselves back in this. These are the disciples. These are the people that were walking with Jesus. So I don't care how long we've been walking with the Lord, we are going to encounter areas that we have fear in our lives. You never get too mature, too spiritual. I'm good. Because fear will arise. Why? Because we will have incidences of wind and waves. But one of the cool things is, what are we going to do with these wind and waves? When the wind and waves appear, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I don't know about you, but I would venture to say that maybe there's some people in this place in the middle of a storm. In the middle of a diagnosis, a prognosis, an operation, some bad news, heartache, negative on the account. There is a storm that you are facing. And what are we going to do in this storm? Well, let's take a look at this thought here. Because as you see in verse 41, and they feared him exceedingly. That term fear in the original Greek is talking about a physical fear. They actually feared, after looking at him, they feared harm. Looking at Jesus and feeling some kind of way because of the power that he was exhibiting. The power over the wind and waves. But that same fear, it's interesting what happens. I looked into the science of fear. I don't know why. I don't know if this is psychology or chemistry. Pastor Teresa, you can let me know. But the science behind fear is this. What will happen is that we find ourselves in a predicament in front of us. Maybe you're standing in the middle of the road, all of a sudden you look up and there's a car. So what happens is there's this thing, our fear center of our brain called the amygdala. Did I say that right? The amygdala. And then what happens is within milliseconds, it's telling our body what's going on. And it exudes hormones to where it needs to be, cortisol and all these different scientific names of what's happening. And depending on what's going to happen, it either dilates our pupils, or it tightens things, or it makes our heart beat really fast. It's equipping our body to survive. And then it goes into what's called, maybe what you've heard before, fight or flight. One more. Or freeze. It's interesting how beautiful, and I don't know where people think that God is not in science. That we are created beings, that God creates us to be able to survive. So here we are as created beings. God has already equipped our physical body into how to survive. Wouldn't you think he would do that and the same for our spirits? So tonight we're going to go through this concept of fight or flight or freeze. And, you know, I tease my wife because she's a freezer. Right? All of a sudden, like, someone's coming, she just goes, ah! Right? Because sometimes, like, oh, I'm gonna fight. Your body, your mind is telling your body what it needs to do. It's reading the situation. Is this, do I need to fight out of this? Do I need to run out of this? Or do I need to play dead, right? Like possum. Like I'm not, and again, there are instances, different times in nature where you need to do those things. Right? What do they say if there's a bear? Like don't run because they'll catch you. You kind of have to, or get big, right? Your body is going to prepare to do that. Again, the same in our spirits. What are we going to do? God gave us the equipping in our spirit to assess the situation and do what we're going to do to be able to survive. But can I tell you something? God hasn't just called us to survive, but to thrive in his word, to thrive in our lives. So sometimes we get this thing, it's like, well, as long as, you know, like, it's good enough. Is this prosperity preaching? No. What I'm telling you is that God has good for you. But sometimes life is beat us up so much, or depending on our families of origin, we think like, if it's just good enough, then that's, I'm grateful, God. And then we can even spiritualize it, right? Like, oh, I'm content. Those people are just greedy. No, what we can do is we understand that God has so much for us in his will and his plan, that it's not just a survival tactic that he's given us, but to be able to thrive in his will for our lives. Amen? Is that good news for anybody? Anybody here tonight? Are we all right? So again, that we saw how it worked. There's the fight, flight, or freeze. But what happens is this story that we see before us, this storm taking place, is a perfect example of how there's opportunities all around us for us to get into fear. There's wind. You don't have to go very far, but to turn on the news, but to turn on Instagram, to turn on social media, and you'll feel some type of way. You'll feel, sometimes it happens, there's not actually a storm until you see someone's life look better than yours, and I was like, well, I must be living in a bad situation. Good. Right? Kind of how comparison can be a thief of joy, I've heard it said. So you're not even living in a storm until someone else's look good makes you feel like, this must be bad for me. Or there's the situations, again, you get a notifications on your phone of bank balance. Or you get that text you weren't trying to read that said, it's not me, it's you. Or, I mean, it's not you, it's me. Or, wait. You know what I'm trying to say, right? Unread. But again, the difference is, and where we want to be as followers of Jesus, is that when we find fear or opportunities for fear around us, we're not going to let it stop there. We're not going to camp out in this fear place. Because there's so many times in the Bible we see where Jesus is telling us, don't be afraid or don't fear. Again, even here he kind of scolds the disciples. Where is your fear? Or where is your faith? Why do you have fear? And the thing is fear is not always, or little faith is not always not believing, because you're believing something. You're just believing it's going to go bad. Right? So lack of faith in God's plan is actually just believing that it's going to go bad. Your faith is actually just jacked up. Our faith is actually just working against us. Because we're believing something. We're believing, you know, again, we're like, oh, I'm just believing it's going to happen. I'm in faith. Well, when you believe it's going to happen, it takes, you see how it takes the same amount of effort and energy to believe for something. It's either going to go this way or that way. Where am I going to put my energies? It takes energy to believe that's going to work out for my good. It also takes energy to believe how it works out for my bad. Does that make sense? But what happens is we've seen our life kind of maybe go this way a little too much. So here, big surprise. Well, what do you know? But then, what I think God is calling us to tonight is, where do we want to put our faith? Where do we want to put our energies of belief? Where is our survival tactic going to lead us? Because something's happening. There's storm around us. The brain signals are working in what direction? So tonight, the invitation is to take these survival tactics and to use them to conquer fear. Amen? To take these survival tactics and overcome the lies that fear tells us. Is that all right? All right, if you're taking notes, here we go. Conquering fear's lies. You're in a storm tonight. You came here to church. You almost didn't make it. You almost got in an accident. I mean, you wanted it to go well. It just, ugh. But again, you're facing, you're glad to be in this place. Man, worship was amazing. Don't we have an anointed worship team? Here we are in God's presence. Man, it feels good. And I don't want to leave, because as soon as I leave this place, I have to go back to my reality. That is my storm. My reality, that is my empty house. My reality is my gas light is on. Right? The insert your storm. Insert your incident. And again, maybe not everyone is in such a dire straits, but there's something you're facing. And guess what? Like storms do, they build. Because it might not feel like a big storm now. But if we're not careful, if we don't attack this and get over, because the seeds of fear are being planted, yeah. Don't you know? With a little bit of doubt, a little bit of comparison. We talked about, we had a friend that got some bad news, and then when they get some bad news, people again just trying to be smart, like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Someone that I knew died with that. What? People want to be silly. And again, so little... Like, you're already in a storm, and I'm in faith, though. But again, these seeds want to come in. Because why? Because the enemy does not play fair. The enemy doesn't care that you feel like you have a little bit of faith on you. So, here we are. Conquering fear's lies. Fight. Activate your faith. If we're going to fight, if our sensors are saying fight, we have to activate our faith. There was a doctor by the name of Kent Brantley. In 2014, he's a Christian medical missionary with Samaritan's Purse, and he was serving in Liberia during the height of the Ebola breakout. While caring for patients, he contracted the virus himself, a disease with a high fatality rate. This was killing lots of people. It was an epidemic. And so it has no guaranteed treatment. So people all over the world, it became a popular case because here he is trying to serve these people, and now he contracts the disease himself. Because it was a death sentence for him. Fear was everywhere. And they questioned why he even go in the first place. And he was quoted as saying this, "I chose to follow God's call, not knowing the outcome, but trusting him with it." I chose to follow the call, not knowing, but I trust him with it. We have to build a faith in our lives that says, I see the storm. I'm going to fight this thing off. Because I might not know how it looks, but I know God is going to take care of me. I might not know what's going to happen on the other side of this thing, but God said he'd take care of me, and I'm going to trust in him. I'm not just going to take this thing, you know, like we saw hurricanes, and it seems like every year there's these things, and unfortunately people lose their life because they stay shuttered in. And so we have to decide that we're going to fight. I know that God is calling us to wake up. Because we've seen enough people, and us probably ourselves have lived enough life just sitting and letting life happen to us. Let's fight. Let's get up. Let's join arms with one another. You're in a community of faith that says, hey, we can do it. We can choose to let life happen. We can choose to let everything tell me to run. But in this case, we're going to fight. My faith is going to say to fight. My faith is not going to just take the prognosis. My faith is not just going to let my kid go ornery. Like I'm not going to just let them go astray. That would be easier. I mean, it's already done. That's what happened to my family. And so I'm going to that's just what happens. There's all kinds of reasons to walk away. Again, so many times throughout the Bible, we see this. Don't be afraid. Whether it's in Isaiah, whether it's Jeremiah, all throughout the Bible, Joshua, right? Don't be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. But then what's the following statement? For I am with you. For my strength is with you. For I will protect you. There's the assurance that comes with the declaration. Don't be afraid because I'm there. There is an assurance in his word. There is a promise that says I am with you. And unfortunately, too many times as believers, we just see the current circumstance. We see the storm, and we're not fighting. I'm not trying to beat you up because I've fallen victim before. Just like, man, bummer. But I wonder, what would it look like? What would our lives look like? What would our church, what would our city, what would our nation look like if we decided that we were going to fight this thing? That we were not going to let the enemy just take more and more ground, more and more ground. And, oh, I guess I'm going to steal your joy here. And you're in depression now here. And you got to do this here. And all of a sudden we found ourselves with no fight left. Can I tell you some good news tonight? There is fight in you. There is fight in you because God is still for you. He is not against. What did the Bible say? Come on, if he is with us, who can be against us? Whom then shall I fear? Fear has no place in our lives. There is strength and there is a fight for us. In Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, we see, I'll just give you one of the examples. Verse number 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is declaration over our life. The same God that has been prophesied here in Isaiah is the same God that we serve today. What is he saying to you? He's saying, I am with you. It's worth the fight. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your child. Fight for your life. Fight for your health. Fight, fight, fight. God designed us to thrive. Don't give up the fight. If you get nothing else, come on, this is the IE, you know, we're good for, okay, let's go. Right, let's get in the fight. Next one, flight. When is there flight? So this was the tricky one. We got to remove our triggers. Remove our triggers. I'm triggered. This is my trigger because again, this is, I know this is modern day lingo, but I'll give you a story. I know Pastor Joel just mentioned that, and I'm sure you've heard many a preachers come up and talk about how, man, as you're preaching something, you have to really live it out. And that was the case for my wife and I this week. As God had already dropped this, the this message on my heart about fear and overcoming fear, that the last few nights, my baby girl has been plagued with just a little bit of fear. And don't leave because I'm going to have nightmares, or I'm seeing this, and literally running and hiding underneath the table. And I'll be in the other room, like, Daddy, come sit on the couch with us and watch TV. Like, and so what's going on? There's this fear that I see plaguing my child, to where it's a physical fear that she screams and she doesn't know what to, she's only 4 years old, so she's identifying these feelings. Remember, right, this is chemically going on in her body in the physical, but we know there's also something going on in the spiritual. So that what are we doing here now? So we have to identify these triggers. What caused the fear? So in our life, what is causing fear? What are we allowing in our ears? What are we allowing in our eyes? Who are we allowing around us? What do I need to flee from? Flight. What do I need to leave behind? What habits do I need to get away from? What new rhythms do I need to establish in my life? Because that's how we fought this thing with my daughter. Like, all right, what's going on? What have you been watching? What are you saying? Okay, what are you saying? Oh, I'm saying I saw this and I saw Halloween. She watches this YouTube, and so, you know, sometimes the YouTube's the babysitter, I'm not gonna lie. And so what happens, that's a whole nother message, right? So what happens is all of a sudden it flips to something different, and they see something, a scary image. And then a scary image is repeating. Now, so take that from a child and take that into our life. These images that we see, being abandoned, being left, being broke, being on the side of the road, being without a home. And these images repeat themselves. Words that have been placed on you, that you'd never amount to anything, that you're just like your dad, you're just like your mom. And there's these triggers that are establishing. So the flight in us have to identify and remove these triggers. So I can't tell you what those are, but you have to examine in your heart. What are they? Again, what are you allowing yourself to watch that are establishing root in your heart and in your spirit? Who are you around that is allowing this fight to get diminished in you? What are you allowing in your spirit that is not letting you grow and thrive with God? You're hearing the comparisons. You're looking at everybody else, and it's triggering you to go back to how you were before Jesus. Well, I guess, why not? I mean, it's just one more drink. Just one more time. It's not going to be that bad. It's not going to be all of a sudden. But these triggers are in us, and it's causing us to stay in a place that's not any good for us. And all of our survival tactics are telling us, go, flee. Go with me in 2nd, I think which I'm confusing here. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2:22. Run away from anything that stimulates your youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Do I have anybody that calls on the Lord with a pure heart in here tonight? Come on, make your companionship your brothers and sisters in your community of faith. Get in a small group. Get involved in a service. Get involved on a service team. Flee from youthful lusts. Run away from anything that's going to trigger you or pull you back or get you back into bondage of fear. I don't think anybody in this place would say they want to go backwards in life. We could all name instances and seasons of our life where we felt stuck. Or like we were going backwards, either in our faith walk, in our relationships, in things around us. But the way that we survive these things are removing those things. So with my daughter, we got okay, all right, let's regulate what she's watching. Let's regulate what she's hearing. And then not only that, now we're going to counter it with the truth of His Word. Yeah, good. So identify the triggers, remove those things, and then I'm going to take out the gross stuff and now put in His truth. Put in His Word. What is He saying about this? What does God have to say about this? What is the truth of the matter about my relationship, about my finances, about insert your incident? Are we here tonight? Come on now, we are I don't want to just say we're in a fight for survival. Guys, we are going to do all that God has called us to do and be all that God has called us to be and be the church and be the light. And we want to progress and move forward, not just get by, not just, you know, do a little bit better than my parents. If I can get here, I mean, that's better than my mom or dad did. Who doesn't want to exceed more? Come on, Jesus says to believe me that I will give you even more than you can ask, think, or imagine. Come on, I don't know if you're like me. I can live in the clouds sometimes. I have some daydreams, and I can think about some big things. So to think that God says even more than that, exceedingly above anything that I can, exceedingly above any of your wildest dreams? Exceedingly above the life that you picture that you want in serving God, and then more? Oh, no. That is good. That's some good news right there. Amen. So once you identify it, you speak to your situation. Back to the story here in Mark chapter 39. Here's the storm. Water is coming on the boat. This is a big deal. But what does Jesus do? He gets up and he speaks to the storm. He says he rebukes the wind and the waves. And he says, be still. I don't know where you are in terms of, I don't know if I believe about this. No, rebuke the wind and the storm in your life. Rebuke the lies of the devil in your life. You say, oh, no. I'm going to say, no, this is how it's going to be. Devil, you don't get to win. You can take all your funny antics and go back to hell where you came from. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I am whole, I am healthy, I am strong. As for me and my mind, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to be of good courage. I'm not going to let the outside come into me, but rather I'm going to be the light in my city. I'm going to be the light of my friend group. I'm going to be the light of my workplace. And let it be said of me, God, that I serve the Lord. Let it be known that I've been with Jesus. Right? Like the disciples said, like, oh man, that they've been with Jesus. Let it be known that you've been with the Lord, that you're in faith. So then when people get in trouble around you, they're coming to your cube, they're calling your extension, they're texting you. Hey, can you pray for me? Because you're so full of faith. Because they've seen you fight. Because they've seen you be in these storms. And they see you get out of these storms. Why? Because we're going to no longer let these triggers take us back. But we're going to thrive in them. Amen? Last one. Freeze. Or in this case, rest in God's way. Rest in God's love. I'm going to freeze. And let God be God. Too many times we try to do things on our own, in our own strength, in our own way. No, I'm gonna take this extra job. I'm gonna do this, but now I'm gonna be away from my family now. You can only stretch yourself so thin. You can only do so much in your own strength. But here, our tactic is to just be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is working things out in our favor. He works all things out for my good for those who love the Lord. Anybody love the Lord in the house tonight? Yeah. Come on, anybody love the Lord? God can work things out in our favor. God can work things out for our good. I know that kind of, I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I can't earn it. You're right. You're right. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it, but God is still good. He is still so faithful. Come on, he is faithful to complete it. He that began a good work is what? Faithful to complete it. It's faithful to see it through. But so we are going to rest in God's love. I love this scripture here. 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, 18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not perfect in love. But that idea that perfect love casts out all fear. Imagine a vessel. Any vessels of God? Come on, we are a vessel. Imagine a vessel that you are so full of God's love. In fact, another translation say complete. So you're a vessel filled to the top with God's love. And then I'm going to put a jar because this is complete. So when fear tries to come, it has no place. Sorry, fool. When fear, when a lie, when an attack, when people try to come in your life, sorry, all full of God's love. It's complete. God's love complete. So I freeze and I rest and let God's love take care of it for me. Again, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, but God loved us. I know there was a lot of, I forget how many years ago now, it was the scandal of grace. This song came out and it was like, oh my gosh, how can someone say God's scandalous? And there was all this uproar in the church Christian world. We're kind of funny like that. We find weird things to get up in arms about. But it was this the notion, whether or not, like, okay, God, we know God's not scandalous, but the notion, the premise is that, wow, how crazy to think that while we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, that his love is so good. But the thing is that because it completes us, there's no room for fear in our life. But that happens when we stay and we rest and we freeze. But we got to get to work. But we got to do this. I got to go earn it. And like, okay, this is the plan. I see the wind. I see the waves. Let me go. But we'll fail every time, because we'll get tired. We'll get weary. We'll find someone will hurt us in the meantime, right? Because when it rains, if it's not one thing, it's right. Why? Oh my gosh! In our efforts, we'll run out. So we freeze. And we understand the notion that is complete. His love completes us, and we can stay. Last scripture. If I could get, I don't know if Chris is going to come out. Psalm 62. We got to rest in who he is and what he's done. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly is he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. That's a good word. That's a good promise. That's a good declaration. That's it for the message part. But I felt so strongly, I wanted to make sure we left enough time. And I felt it so strong, and even in worship, that God wants to do some things. Because I know I talked about this fear, and depending on where you are, I'm not afraid of anything right now. But again, regardless of the season we're in, fear will try to attach itself into our lives. Fear will try to creep in. And the wind and the waves, again, this is the disciples, guys. These are the people that were with Jesus, that spent time with him, that sat under his teaching. And yet the wind and the waves were right in front of them. Physical waves, yes, it was a physical incident. But the same thing in our spirit, there are opportunities for us to find ourselves in fear. Because what was happening? Something contrary to what they believed for their lives was now presenting itself. Right? There was Jesus. We're going to go on this side. We're going to get to the other side. You get married. Come on, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes a baby. You saw the order. But wait, I got married, but where's the baby? Or I got married and it didn't work out. That's not how it was supposed to go. This isn't the way I mapped it. Wait, I got the job. I went to school and I got the job and I have this money and it's still empty. I got the promotion and I'm still void. It's not quite working out how you had it planned. And so now fear, did I do it right? Did I mess up somewhere? What did I miss? What's the steps? The little seeds, the little whispers. All of a sudden we're plagued with fear. So there's a couple things that I want to do, and as Akia sings tonight, in fact, can I ask our pastors, if you guys can, in a moment when she starts singing, if you guys are going to come up, because this is what we're going to do. There's a couple of things that I believe the Lord specifically gave me, and one that he gave me during worship. I'm going to call out. Again, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say what it is, but our pastors are going to be up here. And I believe so strongly in the same way that through the Holy Spirit dropped this message is the same way that he told me that you aren't going to leave here the same, that something's going to break off you. That fear that tries to leave you in chains, fear is literally bondage. Right? And this is how it was. Some of you struggle with fear that's physically, it's hard to get out of bed sometimes. The fear so has you in a chokehold, it was difficult for you to get here tonight. That's what fear does. Fear robs your decision makings. Whether it's fear of man, you're afraid on a decision, you're afraid of doing things that you know God has told you to do, but you're afraid of what the outcome, or what are people going to think, or what if I did that, or like, but God's told you what to do. That fear is holding you in bondage. So there's a fear of your decision making that God wants to break free tonight. There's the fear that is getting you almost spun into a depression because you're so disappointed in yourself that you are allowing fear to do. And you know better. But I know better. But yet fear is just gripping you. And I feel like the Holy Spirit said, you are so afraid, or you struggle with fear so badly, you thought about ending your life. Because at least you can get away from it. There's been the whisper, the best way to get out of the fear that you have is just to end it. God wants to break that off of you tonight. Maybe there's another fear that I didn't list, but you know that there's this a fear that you have. You don't have to tell our pastors anything if you don't want. Just ask for prayer. They'll pray for you. We're just going to pray to break it off. Break it off. We just want to lay a hand on you. You can stay in worship or you can go back to your seat and worship. But if we could all stand, Akeem, if you could sing, if pastors, if you could come forward and allow the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of what people might think if you come up here. Don't be afraid of wondering if they're going to be thinking what I went up for. Come get your freedom tonight in God's house.
Heaven will prevail. Strong. and strongholds will be moved, spirits will be silenced, and coward is ruled. Oh, if my God is for me, then what am I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that he sees. Jesus, you change everything. Chains will fall and fear will bow here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Chains will fall and fear has to bow here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Let healed, hope found here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Oh, show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender, we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Jesus, you change everything. Something has to break. Something has to break. That his name is. Something has to break. Oh, every stronghold. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to change. Fall, fear, bow. Here and now, Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope is found here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything. set the wrong thing right. It's when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break. Right now in your name, something has to break. And I know, I believe you lead me through it. I believe you get me to it. I believe you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you lead me through it. I believe you get me to it. I believe you do it. Oh, so chains fall, fear bow here now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found here and now. Jesus, you change it. Oh, chains will fall. You'd feel about, oh, here and now. Jesus, you change everything. Lives healed, hope found here. Jesus, you change everything. Yeah. Oh. Jesus, you change everything. Jesus, you change everything. Yes, you do, you do. It's what you do. It's what you do. Something has to be.
Just so you know, we have prayer teams available after service as well, okay? That will be, they'd be happy to pray with you, to serve you in prayer. So we can do that. We can pray, let's pray for her real fast and then we'll... Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, Lord God, and your power to break the yoke of fear, to break the yoke of caring what other people think, to break the yoke, Lord God, that would try to burden us. The yoke of anxiety and depression has no place. It has to flee in Jesus' name. We loose your power. We loose your peace. We loose your joy over your people, Lord God, that you would return laughter, Lord God, that you would return happiness and joy to your people, your children, Lord God. I thank you that this is not an anxious generation. This is not a depressed generation, but a people who knows who they're called to be, who will seek your face in Jesus' mighty name. We declare it tonight. Come on, anybody receive his goodness tonight. Receive his joy tonight. His peace of mind tonight. The Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. We will have sound minds. We will have self-control, another translation says. In Jesus' name, that's our declaration. Anybody get something from the Word of God tonight? Amen. Come on, we are going to thrive. We're going to fight when we need to. We're going to run away and flee from those things that are not for us. And then we're going to freeze and rest in his love. Amen. His perfect and complete love. Last thing, I know I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit as we got to pray with many of you. Amen. I know that we're believing for some amazing things. And we don't just say it. Come on, does anybody believe that God did something tonight in your lives? That God shifted something, that broke some things off you. But there's many, for many of us in this room, it's not just a matter of a feeling of fear or anxiety. There's something more that needs to be done. Because the reality is, some of you are not walking with Jesus. I'm going to say a little bit differently tonight. Some of you are not Christians. You're in church. You got prayed for. You clapped. You laughed at the right times. You said amen at the right times. But you are not following Jesus. That needs to change. God loves you regardless the condition of your soul. But unless you are a follower of Jesus, you will die and spend your eternity absent from him in hell. And I love you enough to tell you that truth and that reality. Sounds harsh. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you what it is. Tonight is your night of salvation. Tonight is the night you need to flee away from the things that have kept you in bondage. Let me say it to you this way. You want his freedom, but you don't want to follow him. You want bondages broken off of you, but you're not really willing or ready to surrender. Let me love you enough to tell you that's not how it works. Absolutely, there is freedom for you, but first there is surrender. The invitation tonight is for your freedom. The invitation to you tonight is to surrender your heart to Jesus and exchange. You get life and life abundantly, life forevermore, eternal life, life in his presence. But first is the exchange, is the surrender of your life. That means not just doing things your way. Hey, I like this Christian idea. I like this idea here, but I don't like that, so I'm not going to do that. But I think this is a great concept, so I'm going to introduce that into my life. You're fooling yourself. It's not how it works. Jesus paid the price by giving up his whole life. In eternity, he asked for your life, for my life. And in following him, he gives us more than we could ever ask or imagine. So the invitation is a good one. It's a life of following him, but tonight you have to surrender. Tonight, give him your everything. Can we all stand up real fast? Can we all stand up? I'm going to count to three. When I say three, I'm going to go one, two, three. When I say three, if you need Jesus, if you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus, I want you to make your way up to this altar. We want to pray with you. Maybe you already got prayer. Don't lie to yourself. I'm glad you got prayer. I'm believing that your prayers will be answered. But more importantly, you need to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. Because outside of him, you won't find true joy. Outside of him, you won't find true peace. Outside of him, you will fight an anxious life. Tonight, come and get freedom. Maybe you've done this before. You know you're not living for him. You know you never really surrendered. You can't do things a little bit your way, a little bit God's way. Tonight, make him the Lord, the boss of your life. That means what he says. And if you're living contrary to what he says, you need to be up here. One, get ready to make your way. You might be embarrassed. I don't think you'll be embarrassed. But if you were, God forbid you stand before God and you missed your opportunity out of fear. We just talked about fear. The people in this place want to see you walk this aisle. I'll promise you that. They want to see you healed. They want to see you whole. Come and get freedom tonight. Two, three, go ahead and make your way. Come on, let's welcome them. Let's show them some love. Come on, if you need Jesus tonight, if you want to make him your Lord and Savior tonight, if you want freedom tonight, make your way up to this altar. Come on, I know there's more of you. Don't think because you got prayer. Don't think because you clap. Don't think because you're in church that you have a relationship with Jesus. Come on forward, come on forward. Through it a little bit differently than how we usually extend an invitation. But I can't make you come up here. I put before you the different options and the different things that you might be thinking in your mind. I'm grateful that you're here. But I can't help but feel like there's more people in here. But again, I can't make you come up. I want to just give one more moment. And I want to do what we like to do. I want to encourage you to maybe nudge your neighbor. Hey, do you need to go up? I'll go with you. Because I believe that tonight is your night of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. And I'll be quiet. I'm done. I'm not trying to coerce you. I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm not trying to scare you. But I will tell you the truth, and I will present that before you. Feel no qualms about that. So one more moment. Go ahead and nudge your neighbor. Tell somebody, I'll go with you. One more time. Let's just, in faith, give a clap and welcome those.
The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious.
All right, all right. This is what we're going to do. The Bible says that for one soul. Bible says that Jesus leaves the 99 for the one. So if God's celebrating, I don't know about you, I want to celebrate today for a new life. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All right, and then Pastor Joel has some more information that he wants to share with you. But first, let's do this prayer. Would you repeat after me? Everybody in this place, repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner that needs a Savior. I invite you to be my Savior tonight. Wash away all my sins. Make me whole. Make me a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross and raising again, giving me new life. I declare tonight that I'm saved. I'm a Christian. No turning back. I'm following you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Again, if you would, follow Pastor Joel and Kathy. We have some friends that we want to get you some more information connected. We're so grateful. Come on, anybody happy to be in God's house tonight? Like I mentioned, we have prayer teams. Maybe you didn't get to get prayer before, or maybe that you know that you needed to give your heart and life to Jesus, and you just weren't so sure about coming up. Our prayer teams would love to talk with you and help you and guide you through. Everybody all right? Everybody ready? Not just survive, but thrive. How are we going to do that? We fight? Come on, we flee from all that other stuff, and then we just rest in His goodness, amen, and His love. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your people, Lord God. These are your children called by your name. Lord God, I pray that they would be blessed in their coming, blessed in their going, Lord God, that everything they put their hands to, Jesus, it would prosper in your name. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith, we say about the Inland Empire, we say that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.